Hello, and welcome to RegTech Roundup, the Canadian RegTech Association's podcast. My name is Donna Bales, and I'm the founder of the CRTA and the host of today's show. For those of you who do not know the Canadian RegTech Association, we're a not-for-profit focused on bringing regulatory bodies, financial institutions, and RegTech firms together to address common challenges through collaborative efforts. In today's episode, we are talking about the potential of reducing regulatory burden through the implementation of machine-readable regulation. Joining me on the podcast today is Shailesh Duri, CEO and founder of Decimal Point Analytics. Decimal Point Analytics provides consulting and market research services and leverages data and artificial intelligence and machine learning to assist clients with financial research, analysis, modeling, and risk management. Shailesh is a highly sought-after leader and innovator in the space of real-life applications, artificial intelligence technology that are used in massive data, quantitative statistical analysis, and algorithms. Machine-readable regulation is not a new concept, but there has been renewed interest by the industry due to its potential to enhance compliance and risk management and reduce regulatory burden. In 2016, the Financial Conduct Authority in the UK hosted a tech sprint that looked at the whole process of regulatory reporting, starting with converting the handbook into machine-readable text and using that to enable automated advice and personalized filtering. In October 2022, FINRA in the US announced they are using the technology to make their rulebook easier to navigate and by building a taxonomy and search tool called FIRST to help users, whether human or machine, easily identify and search applicable rules. As you will learn in the podcast, regulators from India are also exploring the use of machine-readable regulation. Now to today's show. Welcome, Shailesh.
Thank you, Donna.
So let's dig into the questions. So when regulators table new regulation, part of the consultation process is to assess the regulatory burden it may impose on the industry. With the growing use of technology, there's been a push in some jurisdictions to move towards machine-readable regulations. Shailesh, can you explain to our listeners what is machine-readable regulation?
That's a very interesting question. This is a new concept which is coming into, let's say, the global marketplace. By machine-readable regulation, what we mean is that regulations which are given out in the form of computer code or in the form of API. API is a technical term for connecting between two computers to databases, where the regulation can be interpreted by a machine or a program at the entity side. The entity could be a bank or a mutual fund or an insurance company, which is a regulated entity. So instead of somebody reading the regulation printed on a PDF file and then creating a code for that, the regulator themselves issue the regulation in the machine-readable format. So that is the main concept behind machine-readable regulation. Now, what is the thing there is that the APIs will have temporal as well as geospatial considerations built into these APIs. So based on the time at which a regulation needs to be applied, because the regulation keeps on changing over a period of time. So a particular period of time or a particular type of entity based on the location or based on the type of the entity, the regulation as applied to that entity would change. So for example, if simple example that if we were to give a machine-readable regulation for a layman would be that a speed ticket issued automatically by a camera. Now, based on the speed limit defined in that particular area, the camera might be able to issue a speed ticket by reading the nameplate and also by understanding at what speed the car is or the vehicle is moving. So that's, let's say, layman interpretation of MRR, machine-readable regulation. Obviously, in the financial industry, it is not that simple. It is far more complex than that.
Yeah, let's dig into that a little bit. From a financial service perspective, what are some of the benefits of machine-readable legislation? And have we got any examples of how it's been successfully implemented?
Yeah, so the benefits and the costs need to be compared. Obviously, the regulator would have additional cost of issuing regulations in the machine readable format rather than in the traditional format. But the benefits are very wide. So what are the benefits? First is that the regulator is sure that the entities are not making any interpretation mistake in interpreting the regulation while applying that regulation, because the code is or the rules are already given, which machine can understand. Now, the same confidence is there for the management of the entity which is regulated. So they are sure that their compliance officers are not making an error of judgment while complying with the regulation. And it goes on to the shareholders. So one is that quality of compliance goes up. Secondly, is that cost of compliance comes down overall for the industry. Now, in the current scenario, the same will is reinvented many times by nearly each and every entity regulated. So a new regulation comes in, each and every entity tries to modify their own internal systems, or a few vendors that are there, they try to modify their own programs to comply with that regulation. So one change creates action at 100 or at 20 places. Here, one change doesn't create action in 100 places. So the cost of regulation comes down. The time required to comply comes down, because right now people have to give a lot of time for making changes to the system so that the entities can comply with the regulations, new regulations. But in case of code, it is just a question of deploying the new code or new API, so which is a far faster. So those are the advantages. So that I can think of in terms of machine readable regulation. Now, another disadvantage could be that some people might say that, are we going towards a Orwellian kind of 1984 kind of scenario where the regulator is omnipresent and watching each and every stage? I do not think that is the cost in this case, because these are not additional regulations. These are the regulations which anyways regulator would have issued. So only thing is we are making it easier for the entities to comply with the regulation. So that's the cost benefit analysis.
Just interrupt and ask a question, because we had a workshop the other day and we were talking about derivatives reporting, and there was a big discussion about the cost of compliance, because there's all these refits and rewrites that are happening across the globe. So do you think that, and one of the challenges is that they can't get the funding for doing the work because it's not mandated, right? Do you think that this, like, if regulators are mandating machine-readable text or technical standards, that will actually assist with the cost of compliance? And do you think there's an upfront cost and then it decreases over time? Like, can you dig into that a little bit?
Yes. So I think the budgeting for non-mandated compliances is something that is always a battle inside organizations. And when the regulator says that the regulations are machine readable and they're mandated, it becomes easier for the compliance officers to comply. And I think the battle is the long tail of the cost would come down very significantly, because as you mentioned, in, let's say, derivatives reporting and changes to the benchmarks, the cost would come in for over many, many, many years because of the changes. But those costs would be, in case of MRR, quite low cost, while the implementation cost initially could be high or could be low. Depends on what is to be implemented. Because as I mentioned, that in current scenario, in scenarios where regulations are issued in PDF format, each and every company has to, each and every entity has to do their own coding. While in this case, a lot of work has already been done by the regulator. So it is possible that even the initial cost might be lower, but that needs to be tested.
Is there any prerequisites that firms need to have? Like, do they need to have good data governance and data management practices? Like, are there any prerequisites for FIs to be thinking about?
Yes, I think this can apply only when the regulator issuer, that the data quality that the MRR is going to see or the API is going to see is of high standard. In cases where the data coming from databases of the core systems of the entities are massaged by the compliance officers before they can comment on compliances, APIs and MRRs will not work. So the data in the system has to be of that standard. And there are certain things like Web3-based compliances of data standards would come in picture. So people are trying to create use cases of handoffs between various parties of data. And in that case, Web3-based data quality and assurance standards, if they evolve, when they evolve, would be a great boost for MRRs, for the regulators to confidently adopt this. Otherwise, the old terminology that was there, garbage in, garbage out, can come into picture.
Yeah, that standards is so important for that consistency. And I think there's the putting it in a machine readable format, which takes it up a level. But then if you add some kind of standards as best practices with it, I think it even improves the data quality more, you know, and it'll become more effective from both parties. So do you see that? Do you see they're needing any direction on standards as well for this to work?
One has to be careful in setting the standards. So here the question of principles-based regulations vis-a-vis the rule-based regulation comes into picture. So the rule-based regulations are easily applicable for, easily amenable for MRRs, while the principle-based regulations are not amenable that much for MRRs. Maybe once AI becomes more advanced, we can do it. Even in that case, one needs to be careful that we are dealing in a human situation finally. So, and there has to be exceptional handling. So when setting up the standards, how do we handle exceptions so that people of certain characteristics are not denied the services by the entities? So a banking or the insurance is not denied to certain people by error because the MRRs are applied blindly. So that is an how do we build that in data standards is a challenge as of now. But the data standards will have to come into picture to create MRRs to be in successful format.
And you mentioned the difference between principle-based regulation and rule-based, and that MRR is more suitable for rule-based. Do you have any examples of globally where it has been used for rule-based regulation?
There have been certain use cases which I have heard of in case of, I think FINRA has tried to or is thinking of doing work in this machine readable rule book initiative. So I think they are trying to embed taxonomy 40 most frequently used FINRA rules. And they are also going to make available this feature through an API interface. And I think the EU AI Act is maybe a precursor to a machine readable regulation because they're talking about experimentality of AI and transparency in the AI. So they are talking about how to regulate AI, but AI itself from that direction can become a tool for regulation. And obviously the country that you are based in, Canada's Artificial Intelligence Act talks about transparency obligations for high impact AI. So how the system is to be used, the type of content that AI is generating and decisions, recommendations, all those need to be recorded, monitored, and mitigation measures to be addressed for harm and bias. And I think harm and bias is going to be an important aspect of MRR when there is a judgment involved. And if because there is a MRR, the companies are deploying AI tools also, then that last bit becomes very important. Hope I answered your question.
No, I think you did. Thank you. And then in terms of other use cases, is regulatory reporting a use case?
Yes, that is. I think that is the biggest use case that one can have, because, for example, where I am in India, the Reserve Bank of India has about 700 different forms which banks have to fill in, some of them weekly, some of them fortnightly, some of them annually. So that is a huge burden on banks to fill those kind of, to send that kind of information. And then it is a burden on even the regulator to compile that information and try to make sense out of so much of data that they are gathering. I think reporting would be the easiest bit for MRR and the APIs to converge on initially, because there the cost, the decision making is already done. Yeah. Most of the business decisions, only the reporting decisions are left.
Yeah, it's pretty clear, you know, this is what you need to report, right? And I think there's so many use cases, because there's not just, you know, derivatives reporting, which we already talked about, you know, there's also financial reporting. There's ESG reporting, like, so there's like lots of climate reporting. So there's lots of different use cases. Yet it's just, and these things are fairly straightforward. We need this data by this time, right? And so, you know, it has to be that the principle-based nuance needs to be considered. But I think for financial reporting, for example, it seems pretty straightforward use case.
Yeah. One thing that one, when SVB in California went kaput, I was thinking that if we had, they had maybe an automated reporting system, then of flagging of banks where the losses, unprovided losses exceed the capital, then maybe in the month of October or November itself, the Fed would have acted and all the panic would have been avoided. So this is huge benefit to society. Society adopts API-based or machine-readable regulation-based reporting standards for finance industry.
You would think that also would be easier on the regulatory side to see those patterns and trends.
Yes.
Right. And so, like, from a regulatory point of view, there's that, you know, it's captured, it's put right into the database, and it can be used right away. Right. And as you said, you could kind of call and ask for additional requirements, and it makes that those rewrites so much easier, right? Like, and I think that's like a real value add. Like, if you think about the cost, the industry on all these derivative rewrite, you know, and this is an area definitely to explore.
Correct. And especially the point that you mentioned about ESG reporting and sustainability reporting is something that is an emerging field. And if regulators adopt these kind of standards, then bringing consistency between various players within the same industry across various industries, so that there is no arbitrage, let us say, of taking a loan from an insurance company vis-a-vis from a bank for a activity which is not considered green, for example. So those kind of things can be mitigated.
Oh, I was just going to say that I think because it's net new too, like you can do it, like the climate reporting, the risk reporting, for example, it's net new, right? So like if you do it right from the beginning, like you're building from a strong base. So I think like especially new regulations, it's harder when you're laying on top of legacy, but you're starting net new. That seems like a perfect use case.
Yes.
So let's, like, we've talked, I know you touched a little bit about the future already, but what do you think the future holds in terms of use cases? And, you know, you touched upon artificial intelligence earlier. Do you think a potential use case is that certification?
Yes, artificial intelligence would go hand in hand with MRRs in case of certification, because when certain decisions had to be made or certain choices had to be made, as we are seeing with ChatGPT and other GPT tools, the AI is becoming more and more capable to do certain activities that earlier were domains of human beings with high confidence and low cost, where the issue of bias or exclusion is involved. And regulators are concerned that in decision making, the bias should not be there. I think that could be delegated to AI and the reporting can be then based on machine-based regulations. I think that it is going to play a very critical role in interpreting rules as they apply to a particular situation mm-hmm. as well. And that will decrease the cost of compliance for the companies.
So can you expand on that a little bit more? Like, can you give an example?
Yes. So let us take an example of case where entity is wanting to transfer money from country A to country B. Now, there has to be some anti-money laundering rules to be followed. There are certain terrorism financing rules to be followed before the bank allows the money transfer to happen. Now, some of those are very clear-cut cases that if you find that the person that money is getting transferred to is undoubtedly a terrorist, then the money transfer should not go ahead. Somebody's name is sounding similar to a known terrorist, then is that person's bad luck or how do we control those risks? And then the AI tools would come into picture to identify the person more closely, for example. Mm-hmm. And the scores that are assigned by those AI tools would be a factor that would go into allowing that money transfer or not. For another example could be that are the insurance companies rejecting claims unfairly or not?
Mm-hmm.
So regulators are very interested in knowing that there is no unfair rejection of claims. Now, in that case, if the information is compiled in a format which AI system can read it, and there are multiple competing algorithms which are deployed by the company, and then a poll is taken, in that case, the confidence that the rejection is not unfair for the regulator would be higher in that information system.
Very good. So Alain, there seems like to be lots of applications for sure. I hope we start seeing some greater adoption. Like definitely when we talk to our members, the regulatory burden and cost of compliance just comes out over and over again. And it's from all sides, right? Because we've got, you know, obviously our FIs feel it, the financial institutions, but so do the RegTech firms, you know, with third-party risk and outsourcing, like they have to increase their level of compliance. So I just, you know, I really hope we do see greater adoption. This seems like a really good tool to make a more systematic and more efficient and effective ecosystem. Celestia, I really want to thank you for your time today. It's been great to have you. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to RegTech Roundup.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Donna. Have a good day.